I would just like to identify that I have no personal financial relationships or commercial interests to disclose relevant to this presentation. In 1995, you may recall the sarin gas attacks in the Tokyo subways. There were 12 deaths, 17 personal critical injuries, about 1,300 mild to moderate injuries, and of those, there were, in addition to that, 5,500 emergency visits to medical facilities. Of those 5,500 medical treatment facility visits, 4,000 of those injuries were behavioral health. They were psychosocial injuries. That tells us that the psychological casualties certainly far outweighed the medical casualties for this particular incident. And it's because of scenarios like this that we believe that disaster behavioral health, preparedness, recovery, and response are critical and key and so important, not only nationally, but internationally. So as you can imagine, disasters occur more frequently at the local level. But what we know about that is that when a disaster occurs, it's widespread. The effect involves, and responders can be or are associated with responding to people on the individual level as well as the community level. We know that not all disaster survivors experience stress. However, we also know that those disaster survivors that do experience, of those that do experience stress, some of them experience more serious reactions. We also know that because of this serious reactions, that the coping mechanism for these individuals may be challenged. And because of that, we know that when there is inability to cope physically, there's also going to be some indication that there's going to be emotional challenges to recovery. Research has found that when there is really strong community and social supports available for the survivors, they are and can become more resilient. The FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, declared 95 disasters in 2013. And of those disasters, we're talking about everything from floods to storms to fires, etc. And what we know is that recovery from disasters really do happen, but it does create a behavioral health challenge. And when there's these types of challenges, we know that resources are key to survival and recovery. SAMHSA, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, provides some supports, additional supports to our recovery workers in the field, things like technical assistance, materials, and resources. We find that it's not only helpful to our responders, but it's also helpful to the survivors themselves, helpful to the community, states, and at a federal level to our other partner agencies as well. SAMHSA decided that they needed to look at how we could take what we had, which was our disaster kit. We call it our SAMHSA Disaster Behavioral Health Kit, which was comprised of about 28 printed hard copy publications. How could we take those evidence-informed and evidence-based materials on disaster behavioral health and make it more user-friendly for our recovery workers and our responders that were in the field? Well, one way that we came up with was a disaster app, an interactive mobile app. Our disaster kit includes material anywhere from suicide prevention to self-care to PFA. We took and curated and packaged and sent this hard copy set of materials to the workers that were responding to the Haiti earthquake, as you may remember, in 2010. They thought that this was a phenomenal idea. But they also thought, you know, it's great to have this set of hard copy materials, but it's also pretty cumbersome to have this in the field. So the disaster app became more of a realized and important tool for responders when they were going to be in the field on a disaster, large scale or small scale. Let me give you an example of a time when these materials became very, very helpful and useful. You may recall the Boston Marathon bombings that occurred. In the 4 weeks following the Boston Marathon bombings, SAMHSA fulfilled more than 1,500 orders for over 5,300 disaster kits. We did an April 18th e-blast promoting the disaster kit, and that was pretty much about 3 days after the bombings occurred. What resulted from that was we had our single highest day SAMHSA store traffic in 2 years. So we had one-third of the visits to the disaster kit store page, and we had more than 3,700 downloads of this disaster kit, a really, really well-received tool. After consulting with representatives from the disaster response community, we talked with our partners at FEMA. We talked with the Assistant Secretary for Preparedness, Response, Recovery. We talked with American Red Cross, et cetera. We found that the app was an ideal solution, and we thought about why was this such an ideal solution. Well, our partners told us many things. Essentially, this was a portable device. This was something that could carry all the content that they needed on their devices. We also looked at the cost. It cost about $9 for us to print and ship one disaster kit. So you can imagine it was really, really a cost-effective approach. The disaster app was developed using pretty much a research-informed, user-centric design, which essentially means that we tapped the skill set and the knowledge from disaster behavioral health experts in the field. We had them tell us what did they think would be useful. What kinds of tools would they like to see in the field? What did they think would be helpful information and functionality? Also, we looked at when there's a disaster, especially when there's a natural disaster, what we typically see is there's some kind of interruption in the interconnectivity for the internet. And so we looked at the conditions that were in the field, and we found that, yes, early phases, there is some challenges with interconnectivity. So we took that into account. We did interviews with key informants. So we did a first round of interviews around about March of 2013. We did another round about May of 2013. So we had like 10 behavioral health subject matter experts in the field of disaster behavioral health who were interviewed. And essentially, all but one of them had some familiarity with our products. And they all told us, however, that they thought that this was the next step in the disaster response community as far as resources that could be portable. We also interviewed 10 end users. These end users were essentially folk who were deployed quite frequently in a disaster behavioral health scenario after a disaster. And these included individuals, again, as you can see, from the state, federal, and local levels. What we found and how we responded to these end users, we first learned that essentially everybody carries their own smartphone with them when they're deployed. Everybody. We thought that that was good because we needed to know what kind of tools or what kind of apps would be most appropriate in the field. The other thing that we've learned is that those who carried Blackberries, and some people still carry Blackberries on a norm, that they had some challenges to accessibility. We also found that those of us, for instance, in the federal government who have to carry Blackberries, we had an additional challenge because we had security issues. So we kind of worked through those challenges with our FEMA partner. We also worked through it and are continuing to work through it with some of our other federal partners. We also presented the idea to the responders that this app could be something that could be shared with disaster survivors as well as with colleagues in the field, so that if they are in the field and they are needing some content from the app, we we said that this is a great opportunity for you to use this information, send it by email, send it by text to those that you're interacting with in the field. Well, that was all well and good. However, our responders and our interviewees told us one thing. I have no trouble sharing information with those that I interact with, but I do have trouble sharing and knowing that my personal contact information may potentially be shared as well. So we certainly took that into consideration and made accommodations for that. And so now that when information is shared, there is no exchange of personal identification from one's phone. The other thing that we've learned is that disasters occur in a continuum of stages. So what our end users essentially told us is that they wanted information that they could resource quickly. They wanted checklists. They wanted refreshers. They really didn't want a whole lot of cumbersome information in the field. So we made sure and developed the content accordingly. Of course, internet connectivity, as I mentioned, was a concern. And so what we did was make sure to say to our first responders, say to our resource workers that when you are preparing to go in the field, and this is done quite frequently, when you're preparing to go into the field, just take the information from the app, download it to your phone, and you'd have that information ready and available for you when you get into the field. The SAMHSA app features evidence-informed and evidence-based resources in the disaster kit, along with additional partner information and resources. We also have one key item that kind of differentiates this app with others, and it is what we call our treatment locators. And what that does is, again, when you're preparing to go into the field, if you think that you're not going to have connectivity, you want to make sure and take the zip code to the area that you're going in to plug it in, and you can download all of the treatment locators, both mental health and substance abuse. I want to just give you a little precursor of a video about our app.
So how does the SAMHSA disaster app help a responder? Responders can access resources for any type of traumatic event at every phase of response, from pre-deployment readiness to on-the-ground assistance and even post-deployment support. Access to the latest evidence-based disaster tips, guides, and publications from SAMHSA and a variety of credible sources ensures responders have the most up-to-date, relevant information. You can also search the publications directory by topic, audience, and language. Responders can access a Google Map view of nearby treatment facilities and filter by type and distance. Regardless of where you are, facilities can be located up to 100 miles away. Getting directions is just as easy. You can't always rely on having an internet connection or cell service in disaster zones or remote locations. That's when the preload feature is important. Users can download treatment facility locations prior to deploying, and publications are automatically downloaded and stored the first time you open the app. When responders are in the field, it can be difficult to get resources into the hands of survivors. Carrying around extra copies isn't exactly ideal. With the share feature, responders can easily send any content quickly and efficiently, including tips, guides, treatment facility locations, and helpline phone numbers. Simply navigate to the content you want to share, enter a phone number or email address, and tap send. Improving the SAMHSA disaster app and expanding its features is important, but it requires input from responders. That's why you can also submit feedback and suggestions to help developers design the best mobile app experience. The SAMHSA disaster app is fast to install and easy to use. Simply visit your phone's app store and search for SAMHSA, or click the link for your app store in the description. The SAMHSA disaster app. The mobile app that lets responders focus on people in need, not logistics.
I And just finally, two additional resources that I just want to make you aware of are SAVSA Disaster Technical Assistance Center. It's a center that helps states, localities, territories, tribes prepare for and respond to disasters. They provide telephone consultation, training, research material development, and additional resources. And I have the telephone number, website, and email if you're interested. And then finally, one additional resource that we have established just recently is our SAMHSA Disaster Distress Helpline. It's a 24/7, 365-day crisis support service that realizing that folk experience stress, anxiety, many types of depressions, we thought that it would be important to have someone available when there is a disaster, and even in times that disasters are at a quiet. So I hope that this is helpful. I do want to make you aware that we have our IQ Solutions at booth number 1206, 1206, that has more information about the disaster app. And in the back, I have brochures related to the Disaster Distress Helpline. Thank you very much.